37 degrees, 409. Derek and Roger riding home with you this afternoon. And if you've listened for a while, I'm a big fan of high-speed rail. And many Americans have looked at some of the high-speed rail projects in Japan, China, and Europe, thinking, why can't we do something like that here? Well, Japan is wanting to help us with our infrastructure problem. And, yeah, it is a little embarrassing that we need foreign aid from Japan to have high technology in this country. They have offered to pay for the first 40 miles of a 300-mile-per-hour maglev train that would run from Washington, D.C. to Baltimore, and that would conveniently give lawmakers an 8-minute trip to the Baltimore-Washington International Airport, something that may get congresspeople excited. You know, when the sequestration first hit, when Congress found out it was going to dork up air travel, which is important to them, they very quickly fixed that problem. And so Japan thinks that offering to build a high-speed magnetic levitation train from Washington, D.C. to Baltimore would give lawmakers the incentive they need to move ahead on the project. And Japan, of course, wants that to be the first link in a more expansive train. Dangling the prospect of an hour-long commute in front of politicians, Wall Street people, and journalists who regularly travel between Washington and New York, is hoping to coax an exemption from Congress hostility to even modest infrastructure spending. But this version of an American maglev train would be a massive investment that would primarily benefit the Washington elite while sucking funds from the rest of the country's aging and not in the best shape Amtrak system. Should the privately owned maglev succeed, it would really damage the Acela Northeast Corridor and the project. And that corridor, Amtrak says, is a gold mine for Amtrak. And, of course, the airlines would be opposed to this. We'll see. But offering congressmen and women a 8-minute trip to an airport that doesn't have the congestion problems that Reagan Airport does may be a way to get past the objection that Congress has to doing anything with the infrastructure, let alone building high-speed rail. If high-speed rail were available to the whole country, would you be more inclined to travel via rail? If you can get to downtown Chicago in round about an hour from Kalamazoo, would that entice you to take a train versus driving to downtown Chicago? I'm thinking that it will. And Chicago is now expanding their internal city transit system and are looking at the potential of a high-speed rail line that would connect downtown to O'Hare. And so theoretically, you could leave Kalamazoo and be boarding a plane at Chicago O'Hare in a little over an hour after leaving home. Would that get you to leave your car behind? Let's talk about that. 382-4280, 877-382-4280. Derek, would you take a train if you could be in downtown Chicago in an hour?
Yes, I would.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking that with the Kalamazoo Promise, we could become a bedroom community for downtown Chicago. And especially with the Kalamazoo Promise,
mm-hmm.
and many people in Chicago have commutes far longer than an hour each way to and from their job. I have a friend who lives in Naperville and works in Skokie, and she spends 3 or 4 hours a day, if traffic is good, making her commute. So an hour commute by high-speed rail would be really attractive to her.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking that with the current Congress, well, the House of Representatives, that doesn't think infrastructure is important to the future of the country, really is leaving us in a situation where we have one arm tied behind our back. The rest of the world is investing in their country's infrastructure, and the United States falling further and further behind. But Japan, at least, wants to come to our aid. They want to, foreign aid helping poorer, destitute countries. Japan wants to help us get into the era of high-speed rail. And should we take advantage of their generosity? 382-4280, 877-382-4280. What do you think? Is high-speed rail the future? Should we be investing in it? Should we take Japan up on their being willing to help us get into the 21st century? .422, 36 degrees outside now. The WKZO.com AccuWeather forecast. Cloudy and blustery this afternoon. Maybe some showers. Maybe some snow showers. That'll happen mainly early, and then temperatures falling through the 30s, and that's what we're seeing. Partly cloudy, brisk, and cold tonight with a snow flurry, 25 the low. Mostly cloudy, windy, and sharply colder tomorrow with snow showers. Watch for some slick spots. We heard from Bob Larson that in Kalamazoo, maybe inch and a half, 3-4, maybe 6 inches in the favored areas west of US 131. But the AccuWeather real field temperatures will be in the low teens tomorrow. Even colder on Sunday, mostly cloudy with a flurry and a high of 26. 36 degrees in Kalamazoo. Joining us now is Andy. Andy, would you ride a train?
I would, Rog, and I do now. But the thing about it is, here's my problem. The way we take care of our roads, I can't wait until we put these high-speed trains in and take care of those just as well as we take care of our roads. Can you imagine hitting a bump at 200 miles an hour in one of those things?
Yeah, yep, as your head hits the ceiling and...
Well, yeah. I mean, Rob, realistically, though, in all honesty, you know, we can't take care of the infrastructure we have. Where are we going to get the money to fund that?
Well, the Japanese are willing to build the first 40-mile segment as sort of help to developing countries. They see we need help.
Yeah, and you know that's absolutely worthless. That's like you saying, you know what, Andy, I'm going to build you a $1 million house. You just have to take care of it. Well, on my $30,000 a year, how am I going to do that?
Yeah. Well, you know, that's what we're going through with the facilities we've built in Afghanistan. If we leave, they'll only work for a few weeks, and then it'll be gone. And so, you know, you really wonder why the Japanese would even want to build it for us, because clearly we don't take care of anything in this country. What do you think the solution to the problem is? How do we get our Congress people to appreciate the fact that deferred maintenance is deficit spending, that we can't let the roads deteriorate forever until they just become impassable? At some point, we're going to have to do something.
Right, exactly. You know, and that's where the problem lies. Unfortunately, their reality is not our reality. They're not paying the $2,000 or $3,000 a year car maintenance bills that some of us acquire from driving on these roads. And unfortunately, with their hefty, ridiculous salaries,
for a part-time job.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Absolutely. You know, Rog, I'm going to be honest with you. You and I don't agree on a lot, but this is one of them we do.
Well, that's great. Thanks, Andy.
Thanks, Rog.
Have a good day. You too.
Thank you.
Congress people have the world's best part-time job. What do they work? Less than half the year. And they take Fridays off to make sure they get a 3-day weekend back home every weekend. And Congress people have the best part-time job on the planet. I wish it was like that working in radio, don't you, Derek?
Yeah, that'd be pretty nice.
Yeah, just work half the time. Of course, you get full-time pay, full-time benefits, and after you do it for a couple of years, then you get a lifetime pension. These Congress people, that's the part-time job that everybody should aspire to.
Mm-hmm. We can only dream.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But Andy's point is well taken, that we're not taking care of our country now. And, what happens if we build one of these high-tech maglev trains and then we don't take care of it? We let it deteriorate to where it bumps and grinds along the way instead of floating above the roadbed the way it's supposed to be. But we are coming closer to high-speed rail here in Michigan. In the next year or two, we're going to see big increases in the frequency of trains coming, going in both directions from Kalamazoo. Once we get the line from Kalamazoo to Detroit improved, and in Chicago, they're building the Elmwood Flyover, which is a grade separation for the Amtrak right-of-way where it crosses the Union Pacific main line going into Chicago. And that's what results in a lot of the slow, late trains because in our current world, freight trains have priority over passenger trains. And but once the Elmwood flyover is complete, downtown Chicago will be time-wise very much closer than it is, not much over an hour. And that'll be good. And same thing going east once we get the rails fixed up. Mm-hmm. We'll see how long the rails remain fixed up with a Congress that really doesn't want to take care of the country's infrastructure. And they're not just picking on trains. We're not taking care of the roads and highways. And I made a quick trip to Indianapolis and or Fort Wayne earlier in the week, and Michigan roads far and away worse than Indiana and Ohio and the other surrounding states. Mm-hmm. It's like crossing into a third world country. 590 WKZO time is 4:30. We're less than a minute away from a CBS News update and a Wall Street Journal update and local news from the WKZO.com newsroom. Oh, you looked like you had something to say. Nope, that was just...
Nope.
Your eyes got wide and I thought you had something you you wanted to share. But apparently I was wrong. Raj Taylor and Derek taking you home. We'll be back right after news and the AccuWeather forecast. And it ain't a pretty one. Winter is imminent. You'll hear more about that in 2 minutes. Roger and Derek taking you home. You're probably going to want to stay there a lot this weekend because winter is finally going to rear its ugly head and turn cold, maybe some snow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, and we're not even to Thanksgiving. 36 degrees in Kalamazoo as the temperature continues to drop. Joining me now is Terrence Heath. Terrence wrote an article the other day that I found intriguing, and it's on a website called the Campaign for America's Future. Terrence, thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
The title to your column is Cut Corporate America's Free Lunch, Not Food Stamps. Give listeners an overview of what that title infers.
Sure. Right now, Congress is in the process of figuring out the difference between the Farm Bill versions in the House and the Senate. The Senate version cuts about $4 billion from the food stamp program, which just underwent $5 billion in cuts the first of this month. They were automatic cuts as a result of the expiration of the stimulus. And the House Farm Bill cuts $40 billion, 10 times as much from the food stamp program as the Senate bill. And that is going to have a huge impact on millions of Americans, 47 million Americans who rely on food stamps to help them feed their families.
Mm-hmm.
These are people who, many of whom, actually most of whom, have income from jobs that don't pay them enough to afford basics like food, shelter, and health care, for example.
Well,
and the reason that I titled it Cut Corporate America's Free Lunch is because I read a column by, New York Times column by Nicholas Kristof. And he mentioned that maybe Congress should look at doing away with the tax exemption for business meals and entertainment instead of cutting food stamps. And I wondered how much that would amount to, and it was hard to track down the numbers, but the figure that I eventually came up with was between 3.8 to 5 billion, so about as much as the Senate bill would cut from the food stamp program. And this is executive lunches. These are tax benefits, exemptions that benefit the wealthiest Americans, the executive class,
right,
that I think probably can afford to pick up their own tab for lunch, and let us focus on things like keeping school lunches available for children and making sure that hardworking American families who need help making ends meet and putting food on the table get it.
Yeah. Well, earlier this afternoon, I talked with the executive director of an umbrella organization of food pantries in Michigan, and how they are struggling to make up for the SNAP benefit cuts that took place November 1st. And so they're already reeling from that, and yet Congress is thinking about additional cuts. And as you point out, this could be done in a revenue-neutral way. It wouldn't increase the deficit. All we would stop doing is subsidizing rich people's meals.
Basically.
Yeah.
It would take care of at least as much as the Senate wants to cut. And to give people an idea of what we're talking about here, the cuts that happened on the 1st of November are they amount to, for a family of four, about $36 less from their food budget. And these are families that are looking to food stamps to supplement what they already spend on food. The average the benefit basically breaks down to, after the cuts on November 1st, about $1.40 per meal per day. These are benefits that, even before the November 1st cuts, families were lucky if they could get them to stretch to 3 weeks out of a month. So by the last week of the month, they're trying to figure out, what are we going to do? How are we going to make? How are we going to eat for the next week? And food stamps. Food banks across the country are saying that they expect that the cuts will mean that families can only stretch their benefits for 2 to 2.5 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This means they buy less meat, for example.
Mm-hmm.
They may buy less fresh fruits and vegetables and rely more on highly processed, high-fat, high-sodium food. So it doesn't do anything to help those families, and it actually does harm, not just to the health of those families and the children of those families, but to local economies. One of the reasons that Walmart is struggling right now is because 18% of the food stamp dollars spent in America are spent at Walmart. Their customer base and their employee base are the same demographic. So Walmart sales are going down, and will go down even further because people have less to spend.
Oh yeah,
the very customers that they rely on have less to spend. Walmart is now in a position of asking its employees to engage in a food drive.
Yeah,
to feed their fellow employees who don't earn enough. To keep food on the table. This is the kind of insanity.
Well, the poor being expected to help the desperately poor. Well, in McDonald's yesterday, in a website for employees, said that if you can only afford one meal for the day, to split it up, and that you might find yourself more comfortable if you ate half of your only meal in the morning and then save the other half of it to eat later in the day.
It's ridiculous, because no matter how you break it up, it's the same amount of food for one day.
Uh-huh.
You're still eating less. You're essentially cutting out one meal and chopping the rest up to last throughout the day. It's the same amount of calories.
Yeah.
But it's ridiculous that we've gotten to the point where we as taxpayers are basically subsidizing companies like Walmart, whose owner is the family that owns Walmart. I think at this point their wealth is enough to equal the budget of a small country.
Well, I talked about this yesterday. The six Walmart heirs make more money in a year than the bottom 41.6% of the population of the United States. Those
right.
six people.
If you take a company like McDonald's, the CEO of McDonald's earns more in a day than the average McDonald's employee is going to earn in 25 years of working at McDonald's.
Oh, and let's not talk about the multi-million dollar contracts that the senior officers of the corporations make.
These are all things that we are supplementing.
Oh, yeah. Well, we now see companies deliberately using the safety net of the country to reduce what they pay in wages. When you have companies like McDonald's teaching people in their orientation as an employee how to apply for food stamps, that tells you something.
Right. It should, if they had any, I don't know, shame at all, it should embarrass a company to have to tell employees, essentially, we're not going to pay you enough for you to even afford to eat.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to apply, even though you have a job and you're working, you're going to have to apply for welfare.
Yeah.
People like to say, those who work shall not eat, but in truth, sometimes those who do work still can't eat.
Well, and 40-some percent, it's in the low 40s, of SNAP benefits recipients are children. Kids, unless we repeal the child labor laws, which some people have talked about, but unless we repeal child labor laws, we would expect kids to be in school, not out earning money to see where their next meal came from.
Right, and they will not be getting a meal at school in many cases if cuts like this happen. And the thing that you have to keep in mind is that with the big difference between the Senate bill, the Farm Bill in the Senate, and the Farm Bill in the House, that it's very likely that there's going to be a compromise that cuts much more than the Senate bill does at $4 billion, but cuts less than the $40 billion that the House wants to cut, which would virtually eliminate the program.
Yeah. But at the same time, not eliminating the subsidies that farmers get for not growing crops. And
not just farmers, members of Congress.
Oh, that's what I was referring to.
Yeah.
Some of those farmers are Congress people. They knock down the big bucks that Congress people get, plus they're taking millions of dollars in subsidies from the Farm Bill, and they want to cut food stamps.
Right. And you could go on. There's a co-founder of Microsoft who, over the years, has received something like $14,000 in subsidies.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Rockefeller heir that's received a few hundred thousand dollars in subsidies from the Farm Bill. And there's all kinds of things in that bill that are used to prop up the sugar industry.
Market. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, a whole host of things that could be looked at before we cut a program that will end up taking food out of people's mouths.
Terrence, I've really enjoyed talking with you. We're talking with Terrence Heath. I found a column that you wrote in Campaign for America's Future. Where else can people find some of your work? I'd like to know.
In various places. It gets republished in various places. There's a site called Truth Out that sometimes publishes some of my pieces. There's another place called Alternet. Site called Alternet that sometimes also publishes them. And I used to published on the Huffington Post. I haven't written there in a long time.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate your taking time to talk with us this afternoon.
Thank you.
And for people who are listening, I have a link to this article, and the title is Cut Corporate America's Free Lunch, Not Food Stamps. Just go to my Facebook page, and right at the top, I even mentioned that Terrence was going to join me today. Thanks for taking time to talk with us, Terrence.
Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. Terrence Heath, a good writer with a good perspective and something that is worth consideration. Well, we're back up to 37, so we've gained a degree. Did you run outside and mess with the thermometer, Derek?
Nope, it wasn't me.
Okay. Then it just warmed up a little bit, but don't get excited. I'll give you the full forecast right after a news update.
Gonna sit down in the kitchen and fix me something good to eat. And make my head a little high, make the whole day complete. Cause we're gonna lay around the shanty mama and put a good buzz on.
You know what that music means. We're approaching 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon. Does that put a smile on your face, Derek?
I'm so excited.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I am too. Yeah, even though I have to work again tomorrow morning. But I'm still happy it's the weekend. A lot of sports at Western this weekend. Not football. That comes Tuesday. But hockey tonight, WMU takes on Michigan State at Michigan State, 6:30. You can hear that on our sister station, Z96.5. Tomorrow night, same time, same station, same teams. Western takes on Michigan State, but it's here in Kalamazoo. And basketball, women's basketball. Tonight at 7:30, WMU women take on Tulsa. And you can hear that on 1660, The Fan. The WKZO.com AccuWeather forecast, cloudy and blustery, temperatures falling through the 30s. We're back down to 36, so the heat wave is over. Partly cloudy, brisk and cold tonight, some snow, 25. Mostly cloudy, windy and sharply colder tomorrow with snow showers. Watch for some slick spots, 28 the high, but the real field temperature going to be down in the low teens, cold out there. Cloudy, windy and sharply colder tomorrow night with snow showers. Watch for some slippery spots. And Sunday, even colder yet. Mostly cloudy, very cold with a flurry and a high of 26. I'll talk to you tomorrow morning, bright and early at 6 o'clock, and have a good weekend, everybody.
This is Kalamazoo's news station and Kalamazoo's home for Detroit Tiger baseball. 590 WKZO, Kalamazoo.